You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I am your host, Justin McGuire. And guys, as I record this, it's absolutely pouring rain here at my house. And that's kind of appropriate because, as you know, last night the Orioles were rained out because of really bad weather in Baltimore. So we don't have a game or anything to talk about. So instead, we'll just get right to our interview today. We're talking to Tyler Young, who writes for Camden Chat. And we're going to talk about Kevin Gausman, who's having kind of a quietly good year for the Orioles. We're going to get to that in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Tyler Young. He returns to the podcast. He's a writer for Camden Chat. And he wrote an article this week about Kevin Gausman that I thought was pretty interesting. And you should check it out at Camden Chat. The headline is, Orioles Gausman is prioritizing precision over power in early season success. And Tyler, I wanted to talk to you about this article because I thought it was pretty interesting. When I saw the headline and read the article, it seems to me that Gausman's kind of quietly putting together a pretty good season. In fact, I don't think I realized quite how good he was or quite how well he was doing until I sort of started looking at his statistics a little more closely after reading your article. And yeah, he's putting together his best year, isn't he?
Yeah, it definitely seems like that. And I mean, I'm a little bit of a biased Gausman fan. I've always really, really liked him since the Orioles drafted him, and I've followed him closely through the minors and into the big leagues. And so I always try to keep an eye on his stats, but even it kind of snuck up on me a little bit because Dylan Bundy had been pitching, you know, so well the first month or so of the season that, you know, he got the opening day start. He just seemed like the obvious ace. And he kind of covered up Gausman, who had struggled in his first start of the season, but since then has been really steady and consistent, whereas Bundy, prior to Sunday's game, was kind of imploding the last three or four ways out to the mound. But yeah, Gausman's been really impressive, you know, and he's doing it in a different way, which is what I thought was the most interesting. He's no longer just that power pitcher, but he's just sort of showing that he's learning how to pitch at the big league level and maybe turning that corner that I think a lot of Orioles fans are really waiting for it to happen, and it didn't. It seemed like, you know, he's in his mid to late 20s now. It probably was never going to happen, but he's hopefully proving us wrong about that.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit then, because, again, your article again talks about his different approach that he's taken this year and how maybe that's led to some of the success. Can you just talk a little bit about that? What exactly is he doing differently, and what has been successful for him? What's working for him this year?
Yeah, he used to be, I mean, he's still, you know, primarily a fastball pitcher, as most major league pitchers are. He's still throwing that more than half the time, but he usually was up in like 60s or 70% of the time throwing his four-seam fastball. Now he's just a little bit up over 50% with that, and he's mixing in his split change, which has always kind of been his plus-plus pitch, you know, back to when he was even drafted at LSU a couple of years ago and through the minors. That was always his big pitch. He's using that more often. He's using his slider a lot more often. And when he does use his fastball, it's not nearly as fast as it used to be. It was, you know, he was one of the few Orioles that could get it up over 100 miles per hour on occasion, and he would settle in the mid to high 90s. And now he's kind of in the low to mid 90s occasionally, and he's sort of focusing on getting contact from the opposing hitters rather than trying to blow it past them. And, you know, I think that's useful, even with the Orioles defense being, you know, what it is now, not as good as it was a few years ago as we had gotten used to. It's still better to get ground balls than fly balls, especially in Camden Yards. And, you know, I went to the game on Friday that he pitched against the Rays, and he had given up 11 hits, but he didn't walk anybody. You know, that's a big improvement. And when he needs that high 90s fastball, he can get it. I think it was either the end of the sixth inning or the end of the seventh inning, and you could tell he really wanted to pump up on it. I think he threw at 97 or 98 miles per hour to get the strikeout to end the inning. So he still has it in his repertoire, but I think he's focusing on that off-speed stuff and getting in the zone and pitching the contact more often than he has in the past.
And it was, as a result of that, you point out, he's pitching deeper into games. We know about the game in Oakland, but in general, he's been pitching deeper into games than he generally has, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. He's averaging over 6 1/3 innings per start, which is right now the best he's ever done in his career. I think he's averaging a little under four pitches per at bat, which he typically is a little bit above four pitches at bat per at bat, which, you know, doesn't sound like a huge difference, but when you extrapolate it out over, you know, 15, 20 batters, you know, that's picking you out probably an inning or so earlier than you ever have been. And for this one, we'll see that, you know, with Chris Tillman's struggles and Bundy was having a rough COVID for a while there, you need the guy, the bullpen, to throw even more pitches. It's nice to have a guy like Gausman who you can count on and just be like, six innings, he's going to give it to us, and, you know, it might even be better than that.
Now, are there any red flags to you in terms of looking at his numbers, particularly if you look at some of the more advanced stats? You know, I know a lot of times people these days, ERA doesn't tell you the whole story. They want to look at the fielding, independent pitching, and that sort of thing. When you look at the numbers underneath the hood, so to speak, what are we finding? Are there reasons to be concerned that this is a fluke, or do we think this is a true indication of how well he's pitched this year?
Yeah, I mean, as always, you can kind of find flaws if you look for them. I think his xFIP is a little bit higher than his ERA. I think his xFIP's around four, you know, so that could possibly regress. His batting average against on balls in play is only 275, whereas he's one of those guys that is about average around, he averages around the 300 mark, I think a little bit below that. And, you know, you could see those come back to earth a little bit. But then he also has things like he's allowing home runs more often on fly balls than he has in the past, and I would expect that to possibly come down. You know, a lot of the things I think are pretty manageable, and I don't think it looks too fluky to me. I'm sure somebody else could look at those numbers and analyze them a little differently. But to me, it's not looking too fluky. I think he could keep it up and be as consistent as he's been. I mean, it's small sample sizes. I think he only has 8 starts so far, you know, and that doesn't make a whole season. But to me, I'm being cautiously optimistic, and I think he could continue to be, you know, 6 innings, 2 to 3 runs per start. And kind of give you what, in a very different way, the way Wei-Yin Chen used to for the Orioles, where you could pretty much count on him to get 6 innings, and it might not always be, you know, a Cy Young-worthy performance, but it's going to be a steady, solid performance that, you know, gets to your late-inning relievers rather than the guys at the front of the bullpen who you'd like to avoid as often as possible.
Another thing you point out in your article that I think is interesting, and it's something that I talked to a guest earlier, you know, a month or so or more ago about Dylan Bundy as well, and that's the idea of an extra day of rest in between starts. And you point out that his 9-inning game in Oakland came after an extra day of rest, as well as his most recent outing, and they're setting him up this week to have an extra day of rest to pitch against the Red Sox instead of the Phillies, which, again, that may just be a result that they'd rather have him pitch against a division rival, but it's going to give him that extra day of rest. How important do you think that is in his success? Are we seeing huge differences in terms of his effectiveness when he has that extra day?
It seems to be a slight improvement for sure. I think earlier in the season he had gone on 4 days rest and had a 7-inning start or so. So I think he's flexible on it, but it seems to be, and I think across the league for a lot of pitchers, it seems pretty, you know, there's evidence out there that suggests another day of rest can get them, you know, a little more recharged and ready to go for the next start. Unfortunately, the Orioles don't always have that luxury because, as I've said before about, you know, pitchers not going deep and Chris Tillman's whole situation. And even at the AAA level, apart from David Hess, there's not too many great options for them. But yeah, I didn't go too deep into analyzing how well he had done on those extra days rest, but lately that has seemed to be the plan. And obviously as you get into the summer and days off aren't there when you want them to be, you can't always pitch that way. But Gausman, I think, is one of the arms that I'd be willing to coddle a little bit and make sure he pitches when he's comfortable. Because he could potentially be one for the future, even though the Orioles are possibly in a rebuilding mode, although they don't want to seem to admit that quite yet. Whereas Andrew Cashner or Alex Cobb, I might be willing to pitch them on regular rest. I don't know too much of the evidence on that point.
Now, again, we talked about Bundy a little bit as well. And as you pointed out, he got off to the great start and was getting all sorts of accolades, you know, not just from Orioles fans, but around baseball. I read, you know, several things about how well he was doing his first 3 or 4 starts. Then he had, like, I think 3 just horrendous starts, including that one where he allowed 7 runs without getting an out. But then his last outing, he looked pretty effective again against the Rays. So it's hard to know what to make of him exactly. But what are your thoughts on Bundy? I mean, is he, how concerned should the Orioles be about his really bad outings there? Because it wasn't just that they were bad. They were like, one of them was like historically bad. The others were really bad as well. It wasn't like he went from being great to being, you know, mediocre. It seems it's either feast or famine with him. You're either getting a really good outing or he's just going to be completely ineffective. What should we make of how Bundy's doing at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I got a little worried about that run of a couple starts, but I think he, to me, has always seemed like a guy that he needs his mechanics to be perfect. They need to be the way he's used to doing, because he's kind of like a machine a little bit. He always kind of seemed that way coming up through the minors. People talked about how he's like a workhorse and he, you know, works at his craft so much. But I think because of that, he gets so fine-tuned, and when he loses it, it might be difficult to go and find it again. And it's possible that, you know, even the best pitchers, even the Cy Young Award winners, they get into little hiccups and they're not so good for a couple of starts in a row. And I'm not saying Bundy's to that level quite yet, maybe never. But as with most pitchers, you know, you have those mechanical things that, to me, the layman's eye, I can't exactly see specifically what he's doing differently. But he did seem to have a little bit of trouble with his control the last couple of starts. And even on Sunday, he had some wild spells. But I think it's just one of those things that maybe he needs to take a couple of days off and work with the pitching coach and look at some video and see what he's doing wrong. And whatever happened, he seemed to get it around and fix it for Sunday. But yeah, he's a little bit inconsistent for my liking. I mean, he's the guy that the Orioles, even with the rebuild possibly happening, I think they're probably going to view him as the ace going forward and the guy they're going to build around, because I believe he has, what, 3 extra years of team control after this season. You know, if you do a rebuild, that could possibly be enough time to build a rotation around him. So I am a little concerned about his inconsistency at the moment, but luckily the Orioles can sit and wait a little bit with him. They don't need to make any actions on him. I don't think he's one of the pieces they're going to be talking about trading or doing anything with this season. So you can just throw him out there every fourth day or fifth day or sixth day or whatever it is they want to do and be patient with him. Because he's still, you know, I think he's been around a while, so we view him as this veteran grizzled pitcher. And I mean, this is his third season of regularly doing this starting rotation stuff, but he's still a young guy. I think he's 25 years old. He won't be 26 until the off season. So he's still possibly developing and learning how to pitch at the major league level a little bit. And a little patience, I think, will go a long way with him.
So that brings up a question then. I think a lot of Orioles fans have been excited for, you know, for at least for a few years and certainly maybe going into this year, about the idea of having, you know, this homegrown 1-2 punch of Bundy, Gausman, you know, being an effective top of the rotation, you know, group of pitchers. Obviously, the way the season started and with the Bundy struggles in the middle of this run, people aren't focusing on that too much. But do you think, I mean, if you're a fan going forward, should people be excited about the idea of this being a, you know, top of the rotation kind of 1-2 punch? Is there a reason to believe that maybe for a few seasons the Orioles could have you know, at least an effective 1-2 starter, if we don't know what we're getting 3-5 anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be excited about it. I know, you know, I haven't seen too many Orioles pitchers come through the system that have been as good as these two have been in an Orioles uniform. Obviously, we've seen, you know, Jake Arrieta come up and he's struggled with the Orioles to say the least, and then gone to the Cubs and been really, really good. But, and you know, back in the day, they had the whole cavalry thing with all the different pitchers coming up at the same time, and it never really worked out. Brian Mattis and Zach Britton and all them, and it hasn't worked out the way they'd want it to. So for me, I'm actually been really impressed by the fact that Bundy and Gausman have been steady, you know, major league level pitchers for several years now. And I think Gausman's got 2 more years of team control, Bundy 3 more years. You know, this could be a thing for the future that I don't expect either one of them to be traded this season. I would like to see the Orioles possibly look to extending one or both of them and making this a longer term thing because they don't have too much else going on in the system right now. Obviously, Alex Cobb is signed to a long-term deal, but Andrew Cashner's just an extra year after this, and that fifth spot's kind of a question mark. Maybe David Hess will take that on, who knows? But if you can get one or both of them signed, at least you have some sort of a core of a rotation to build around, which is more than can be said about the Orioles pitching staff for most of my lifetime. It's exciting, definitely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know I'm old enough to remember when the Orioles were actually synonymous with good pitching. So that gives you an indication of my vintage. But I know for a lot of younger fans, that's hard to believe, and a lot of fans who grew up in the '90s and later, you know, haven't had a lot of experience with successful Orioles starting pitchers. So it is nice to see Gausman having some success and Bundy, you know, showing signs that he could be very effective if he can become more consistent. I think that's the big thing, like you said, with him. On the other side of the coin, we've talked about Chris Tillman a little bit. Tillman is a guy I think a lot of fans, you know, have some affection for him in that he was, you know, a fairly effective starting pitcher for the team in an era when they were winning fairly regularly. You know, he started opening day a number of times, started some postseason games, was kind of the de facto ace for a while, even if he didn't really, you know, have the stuff of an ace. He sort of was the Orioles' best option as an ace. But now we know how bad he's been, not just this year, but, I mean, he was terrible last year. And even in 2016, he wasn't great. And I forget the exact statistics, but over the past, you know, two seasons or so, he's been essentially the least effective starting pitcher in baseball. And that's with a number of starts. I mean, he started, I think, more than 30 games in that time. He's been given plenty of opportunities. Is there any logical reason that he is still on the Orioles, as far as you can tell? It seems to me, you know, that old joke about the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over again and hoping for different results or whatever. It seems like we've reached the point of insanity with Chris Tillman. There's no way anybody can really think he's an effective major league pitcher anymore, is there?
Not to me. I don't know how you could look at his numbers, not even just his numbers, but he's just not competitive when he goes out there, and he doesn't have his stuff anymore. I mean, he might be hurt back from the 2016 season, and he just tried to pitch through it, and it's unfortunate, but I can't see any reason any major league team would give him a major league start right now. You know, his ERA, I think, is over 10 for this season, and even if the Orioles were the worst team in the league, which they almost are at the moment, they've still got better options than him. David Hess was pretty good on Sunday. Jeffrey Ramirez at AAA Norfolk, he could be one that's coming up soon. Even possibly Mike Wright. I would rather see him pitch start again than Chris Tillman. You know, and I think this is one of those things, like you said, people have kind of affectionately viewed him and possibly even to a fault, even within the organization. Buck Showalter, I think, you know, we always joke about his guys, and Chris Tillman has seemed to be one of his guys. And unfortunately, Buck has been blinded by that affection for a veteran arm, and he's just not good anymore, unfortunately. And I think prior to Sunday's game or Saturday's game, Dan Duquette was talking to the game coverage on the radio, and they were discussing, you know, what are you guys going to do with Chris Tillman? He's on the DL now. Where do you go from here? Is he going to get another major league start? And Duquette did not seem interested in really committing to that. He said, you know, he's gonna go to the minors for a while, make a couple starts there. But even I don't know if that's going to fix anything. To me, I don't see how you can give him another start, even on a rebuilding team. I'd rather see some of the young guys come up, and at least you know what you have. Whereas Chris Tillman, we know what we have at this point. He's been a great servant to the club. He's, you know, done his job, been with the team through some good times. But I think, unfortunately, his time with the Baltimore Orioles has come and gone.
Yeah, and that's my feeling as well. I just, again, I just can't imagine how anybody can look at this guy and the evidence of the past couple seasons and think he has anything left. I mean, he's been given so many opportunities that it's just inconceivable to me that they think giving him another start makes any sense. Again, like you said, even in a bad team, I mean, there's got to be guys. I mean, he's below replacement level at this point, right? So, I mean, there's got to be AAA pitchers that can come in and do at least as well as he did. He's doing for less money at least. So, yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense other than just like you said, blind loyalty. So, what is your feeling? Do you think he is ever going to make another start for the Orioles or for anybody for that matter?
I mean, my gut tells me. It's a tough question, you know. I feel like everything in my brain tells me there's no reason this guy should start a game again. But then again, why did they put him on the disabled list when there doesn't really seem to be anything apparently wrong with him? I could see him possibly coming back and pitching a couple innings just because the Orioles are who the Orioles are, and they've got these guys they like, and they want to give him as many shots as they possibly can. I don't understand why he would ever start again, but I could see him possibly coming back and going to the bullpen and trying to get something out of him. But it would really upset me to see that happen. But sure, it's anything is possible with this team, it seems.
All right. Well, Tyler, thank you for joining us. If people want to find you on Twitter, where can they find you?
I'm at @TyYoung_TYYOUNG. And I also have a podcast of my own, not as good as yours, but I'm doing one called The Warehouse Pod. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So people should check that out as well. And of course, I can find you writing at Camden Chat, which is a great Orioles blog. I've talked about that many times, but if you want to find this Gausman article, go to Camden Chat and you can find it. And you can click on Tyler's name and find all his other articles for Camden Chat as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.